Hello and welcome to the Leaders in Tech and E-commerce podcast. I am your host, Andrei Palamario, and I am the APEC Director for Elkett Global Executive Search. Our mission is to connect the tech in supply chain and e-commerce ecosystem in Asia and globally by bringing forward some of the most interesting stories about success and failure from leaders in the industry. It's a pleasure to have with us today Pascal Bensoussin. Pascal is the Chief Product Officer at Evalua. He leads the global R&D team, encompassing product management, design, data science, and all the engineering activities, with responsibilities over the overall vision, strategy, roadmap, development, and go-to-market plans for Evalua's cloud-based source-to-pay platform. Pascal brings 23 years of experience leading product strategy and development at enterprise SaaS companies. Most recently, Pascal served as the CPO at Reputation.com, helping grow a revenue 5x during his four-year tenure. Evalua was founded in the year 2000 on a disruptive idea that procurement can unlock significant strategic value for a company's spend and supply chain. 19 years later, they have helped over 300 leading companies achieve a competitive advantage by strategically managing over $500 billion in spend. Hi, Pascal. Welcome to the podcast, and it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Andrei. I'm very glad to be part of this.
I wanted to start with an introduction because I know during your career and you had interesting milestones, you wore many hats. Even now, I think you have a couple of hats that you're wearing. It would be great to have your perspective of how your career has evolved so far and what are some of the most interesting milestones in it.
Yeah. So if I look back at what I've been doing in the past 25 years, I've spent pretty much the last 25 years in the United States on the West Coast in California, Silicon Valley. I went to school here, met my wife, and had a great family. But from a professional perspective, I've been, except from the beginning of my career at Sun Microsystems, where in fact I was in supply chain planning and management, doing a lot of work on supply chain, deploying solutions. And you might remember i2 and the Red Pepper solutions. I also helped build a unique and very innovative solution on the supply chain side to manage the supply of components, of high-valued components that are very risky from a financial perspective and manage the risk in doing so. But except from that stint or the beginning of my career at Sun, I spent a lot of time in startups. I've been in three different startups, and each of them have been pretty successful with a good exit for investors. And what ties all of those experiences together is fundamentally to build a great product, to be with a great vision, a very customer-centric model, and to pay attention to a lot of the details that matter in iterating and building a strong product and very differentiated product over time. So that's kind of my career at in a nutshell. It's more on the technical side. Although when you're in product, and I started in product management, as you say, you have to wear many hats, and you have to be on the sales side doing demos, and you have to be on the customer side helping with implementations and fixing issues during implementation, managing customer expectations, as well as building a strong product. And unless you are able to do all of those pieces and bring and kind of put yourself at the center of that, it's really impossible to build over time a great product.
And Pascal, I wanted to talk about Evalua, and now as the Chief Product Officer, can you tell us more about Evalua's mission and what are the main or the biggest challenges that the company wants to solve?
Yes, the mission at Evalua, and one of the reasons I joined the company about 11 months ago, is to really bring a single unified platform, spend management platform, kind of the leading platform in the market, that addresses all spend, all supplier without compromises. And you might say and ask, well, you came, Pascal, you came from ad tech, you came from marketing tech. Those are really visual products with a lot of images, a lot of cool UIs, social media and all that stuff, collaboration and nice collaboration interface with chats. And why would you come to something that looks like back office, very workflow, very form-based, lots of data, lots of tables? And in fact, what I discovered is a very different way to think about spend management, a very different way to think about what it means for a company. It's truly a mission-critical system. It's truly a system that is seeing maybe since in the last 5 years, a renewal in terms of innovation, AI, great UX, collaboration features, chat, are just examples of things that define or the defining element of the next chapter of spend management. And I will, if you want, I will provide a number of examples along those lines. But that attracted me a lot because that's my background. My background is high-stake decision-making and dealing with complex ecosystems, a lot of data, and then helping turn that data into value creation, high value creation for large companies, enterprise, as an enterprise SaaS system. And so the mission at iValua was very simple, very straightforward, all spend, all suppliers, no compromises, and become the number one leading platform doing so. So it felt like the right time for me to join the company. The founders had done an amazing job at building the company, growing the company, coming and opening up offices worldwide and securing a very nice growth. And it was felt to me the right time to, and for them to bring kind of the right leader to take on the product side.
Pascal, I wanted to ask you maybe for your sales hat as well. How would you differentiate iValua compared to other players in the market? What makes iValua stand out?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One is the company has grown in the last 20 years on a single code base. There have been one acquisition, a company called DirectWorks in the past that kind of helped us grow significantly in the direct spend business. So that, again, it's that perspective of addressing all types of spend. But we kind of we did rebuild the DirectWorks product to remain on a single code base. And that is probably one of the biggest differentiating element of the platform, which we didn't grow through acquisition, trying to mix and match very different technologies that have to be integrated. Integration in those cases are very brittle. They result into many duplication of tables and data element where you may have multiple supplier tables, for example. Whereas at iValua, the platform is a single code base. And that is creating a lot of efficiencies in the way we build the product, in the way we support the product, in the way we can scale for our customers. The second element is the amazing flexibility of the platform. We have very, very large companies. I'm thinking Honeywell in the direct spend or manufacturing space. I'm thinking City of New York in the public sector that come with an amazing amount of requirements when it comes to implementing spend management solutions. Some of it is driven by regulation. Some of it is driven by, kind of best practices that they have owning over time and a model that they have developed. And they are not really willing to adopt a simplified model that is kind of the same for everyone or for every customer of a platform. And therefore, they're coming to us with a lot of requirement in terms of how to manage their workflow, their notifications, their objects, their pages, their input information, their rules. And the iValua platform has built a lot of flexibility in adapting to those kind of scenarios without compromising on complexity and speed to deployment. We have customers who have deployed in 8 days, and that's the most recent one in public sector, which is the LA Department of Water and Power. And others, are deploying within weeks, eight to 12 weeks. And so I think those are the main things where it's a full end-to-end platform that's single code base and very flexible.
Interesting, Pascal. And let's go into specific examples. You already touched upon a few, and I'm very curious to know more. So you have different type of customers, the corporate one, maybe the public sector ones. If you can take a few examples and guide us through how they have seen excellent results proving their operations using your solutions, and if there is any connection with the current period we are facing where there is a crisis, and if this has impacted the implementation or the results they have seen.
Yeah, it's a great question. The COVID-19 crisis is, as far as I'm concerned, is a moment of truth to be able to challenge whether or not any company was prepared to adapt, to adjust their, particularly on the supply side. It doesn't mean that it was such an extreme, that pandemic event is such an extreme moment that I wouldn't necessarily use it as the only example. For many of our customers, it was a great opportunity to test their investment, to test the system. And, you know, more specifically, we've seen, for example, organization wanting to ensure supply continuity, right? And ensure that through the COVID-19 crisis and pandemic, they could ensure supply continuity, mainly from China and other countries that had stopped operations. And, you know, it really created a scramble for finding new sources of supply. An example of that is City of New York, one of our customers that I mentioned earlier, and they really scrambled to find suppliers that could offer 6 million N95 masks per week, right? And so through the platform, they were able to connect very quickly with, in fact, other customers of Evalua, which is just coincidental, who happened to build N95 masks and onboard them very quickly to be able to get those masks. Another example is a cosmetic manufacturer, L'Oréal, based in France, who shifted their production of perfumes to disinfectants. And they had to shift the ingredient they purchased, and they used the Evalua platform to very quickly adapt and adjust. Other examples are really around the, you know, the traditional focus that people have, or the perception that spend management is really about cost and managing cost. And it's true, it's about managing cost, but when the top line revenue is collapsing or so stressed, it's really important to figure out innovative ways to manage those costs in a very, I would say, strategic way and collaborative way. IKEA is another example of Evalua customer worldwide, who's using the Evalua solution to collaborate very transparently with their supply base, building cost models, collaborative cost model with their supply base, so that they can really extract, understand the cost drivers of the different kind of raw material and parts that they're buying from their suppliers, so that they can really remove unnecessary costs. You know, an example is IKEA was traditionally really, really good in terms of freight. In fact, they had their own trains, and they were able to remove some of the unnecessary shipping costs from suppliers by bringing their freight trains and trucks to the suppliers. And so this is, again, one of the very creative ways our customers are looking at building not only strategic and long-term with relationship with their suppliers, but really extracting the cost. Speed to market, we talked about the availability of N95 masks. BorgWarner is another example of Evalua customer in the automotive space, who is leveraging, you know, the bill of material capability of Evalua and the visibility through the supply chain, through sub-tier suppliers, to find alternative supply and maybe they're thinking about removing intermediate production or supplier to bring in-house the assembly of some component or sub-assemblies so that they don't have to depend on that intermediary that may not have the same ability to scale or negotiate. I'll give you a last example, which is around cash flow. Part of a spend management solution is to do early payments and to do trade-off. It's called supply chain finance. And we have a solution within Evalua that allows buyers to negotiate with suppliers and potentially pay suppliers faster, sooner, to get extra discounts. And so that's, we've seen also a regain of interest of that part of the solution in the short term. The last one is contracts. A very key part of a spend management solution is to manage supplier contracts. And we've had many customers wanting to search their repository of contracts and find force majeure conditions or specific conditions that were buried in their contract and would allow them to react and adapt and work faster to adjust to this crisis.
Got it. You touched upon quite a few interesting topics, Pascal, and I wanted to ask you, if you were to make a prioritization of the trends that you are seeing, you interact with clients all over the world, different geographies, different industries. Are there certain patterns that you see from your side of the table that emerge in the supply chain procurement spend management sector?
Yeah, I see, particularly from very large companies, I see an increased scrutiny around compliance and risks, social responsibility. And often it comes in kind of two ways. One is a much better internal alignment between the CPO, the CFO, and making a platform like Evalua, not just used by a limited number of people that are close to the CPO or that manage buying relationship with suppliers or category managers, but really expanding the use and the adoption of the platform to the entire organization. Because everybody has an ability to buy, everybody needs discipline in the way they buy and get approval and validations and so on. The second part is really the collaboration with suppliers. And we see more and more that need to collaborate with direct suppliers, but also subcontractors or sub-tier suppliers, and go a lot deeper into kind of the visibility of the supply chain, because often the cybersecurity risks, the social responsibility risk, don't come from the first tier suppliers. They come from second tier, third tier suppliers. And so we're seeing also a lot of interest in being able to monitor or engage a lot more actively in those extended relationships.
And Pascal, how do you see the importance of machine learning or different parts of data management algorithms connected to this visibility part? You know, the term of AI and machine learning have been thrown around quite a lot in the last years, I would say. I wonder what is your perception on that and how is this connected with the Evolva's product?
Yeah, and I can tell you that it's been thrown a lot and completely abused. So that's my background. My background is math, AI. People make no distinction between math, linear or non-linear optimization, and AI. It's all the same. In fact, it's not all the same. There's different disciplines. AI, you know, is a great way, whether it's supervised learning or unsupervised learning, to create automation, to create intelligence through patterns and identify, you know, patterns in data and turn that into, you know, an assistant who can give you some advice. So that's pretty much what AI is. You can find it in our chatbot, which is trying to understand what a user needs when they're trying to buy in a catalog through our chatbot, when they're trying to create a report or get a piece of data through the chatbot. In that case, you need to interpret what they're trying to say. It's the traditional field of NLP, and then turn that intent, that need, into action, right? And maybe do it quite fast. So that's one area that we're investing in and we continue to invest in. Another area which has nothing to do with NLP or little to do with NLP is invoice capture, invoice recognition. It's more about computer vision at that point, and it's about trying to identify in a scan invoice different fields and being really smart at pointing out which fields map to what database field so that the invoice can be managed digitally, right? With alerts, workflow, escalations, approvals, and so on, right? In fact, as we're getting deeper, the company is getting a lot deeper into compliance, tax compliance, and that is becoming a critical part of accelerating the straight through processing of invoices as part of our AP automation module. A third area that kind of combines both computer vision and NLP is contract data capture or obligation management. More and more our customers are saying, I don't necessarily want you to, you know, bring a contract and tell me if a certain key term is found in that contract, which is just traditional simple search with good indexation. But they're saying, I want to be able to know if there was a specific type of clause in that contract. I want to know if that clause is close enough to my approved, pre-approved clause in terms of confidentiality or payment clause, because I have my standard, my boilerplate, so that I can very quickly negotiate with my suppliers. And I want to extract the key terms that are buried in those clauses, like the effective date of a contract, the contracted amount, the indemnification amount, or the insurance amount, and so on, right? And so those dates, those amounts have to be, they want to extract them very quickly without necessarily having someone read the contract and type and retype those amounts on the side. And so that's, again, a combination of NLP and good classifiers and computer vision for scanned contract. And those are some of the key areas that we see a lot of interest.
And that's a lot of time saved if this works properly. I mean, I can only imagine how much time people have to do other things.
That's exactly right.
And when we think about challenges, because I'm sure there is no perfect implementation out there, there is no perfect scenario. All the time you run into troubles or challenges that you have to overcome. I was wondering, do you see any patterns there, or what can you tell us about the challenges when you implement a solution like Evalua, both from your side as the solution provider, but also from the client side, where expectations are different and expectation management is important?
Yeah, that's a very important question, Andre. In fact, you know, those challenges are, you know, really in delivering the platform, the value at Evalua, they're really about the planned digital transformation of those companies. And they really differ by stage. It's really about people and technology whenever you talk about digital transformation. And so I would say there is really three stages. The first stage, when you implement the solution for the first time and you kind of get started on your spend management digital transformation to gain executive and cross-functional support, right? It's usually the biggest challenge is to align the key leadership within a company on what you're trying to achieve, the vision for the organization, getting buy-in from all the key leaders, particularly a good alignment between the CPO and the CFO, potentially involving the CIO, but that alignment is critical, right? And so we spend a lot of time educating, setting the framework to help them reach that alignment. The next one is really the adoption from users and suppliers, so users of the platforms, of the platform and supplier. It's really about getting people on the platform. But again, if the technology is strong, it should not be an obstacle, but it's really important. And that's why we spend so much time making the onboarding of suppliers, the onboarding of users really easy to get a very personalized experience for those users to feel that is their system. It's all about simplicity. I'm a big fan of UX, of really strong UX, of building UX from the ground up, of really thinking how your platform is going to be used. But it's also the model, right? Like a model at Evalua with suppliers, contrary to other platforms, is no fees for suppliers, no conditions to accept new suppliers. At the end of the way, we want to be an open platform where our customers who are buyers can set up their network of suppliers in a very, very easy way. The big trend here that we're seeing is many of our customers want to be able to discover new suppliers very quickly. And therefore, they're okay to share their supplier information. And then when I say share supplier information, that means not disclosing relationships between a buyer and a supplier or any documents that pertain to that relationship. But if a supplier has been onboarded in the platform and you have a certificate of incorporation and you have a number of documentation for that supplier, why not make that documentation available, almost like a shared directory of suppliers to anyone using the Evalua platform? And so we see a big trend of wanting to be able to connect to not only the common shared supplier directory within Evalua, but external directories. You know, MasterCard has millions of suppliers. Tillbook in Canada has millions of suppliers that they are profiling and managing. And so we're really looking at ways to make the directory a very open directory of suppliers, allowing our customers to find new suppliers very quickly, onboard them very quickly, very fast, and get them on the platform very quickly. An example of that is Maxim Healthcare. They struggled for 7 years on SAP Ariba because their supplier really resisted the model of having to pay fees to join the network. And you know, I can tell you that in 8 weeks, we were up and running with Maxim Healthcare, and we onboarded more suppliers on the Evalua platform than Maxim Healthcare had onboarded in 7 years with SAP Ariba in just 8 weeks. And so that's a good proof point related to what I just said.
And if you want to think about the next steps for Evalua and maybe expansion plans or the next milestones that you are looking ahead and with excitement, Pascal, what do you see? And this is for both the company as in its whole or the product?
Yeah, so there are several areas. Like from a product perspective, we have a very clear roadmap. You know, I joined 10 months ago, but after about 4 or 5 months, we already had a pretty robust roadmap for 2020, 2021, and I feel very excited about that roadmap. it really touches on a few things that I've already mentioned. You know, some of them are going deeper into the direct spend category because there's fundamentally a lot of challenges in aligning your supply base, working with your supply chain, collaborating through kind of different, what we call, you know, plan order collaboration or schedule lines, which is how do you, at a material requirement planning, MRP level, how do you collaborate with suppliers? And we realized that a lot of the ERP systems out there were not built to help collaborate with suppliers. And so we are kind of bridging that gap where spend management solutions have that opportunity to become the interface between an ERP system and the supply base of a company. And from a risk compliance and clearly a strategic kind of supply base management perspective. A couple of more areas are making buying a lot easier. We're starting to see that what Amazon did for, you know, buying for e-commerce, we're starting to see that many B2B workflows in terms of buying are demand the same kind of flexibility, having wish lists, having reorder lists, being able to buy very quickly, integrating the catalogs of different suppliers directly within the iValua platform instead of doing a punch out to figure out what to buy on the other website, being able to compare, being able to find quickly. And so that's another area that's huge for us. And the third area is invoice and AP automation, all the way to payment. We think that that's not only a big investment area for us, but it's going to be a big source of growth, of profitable growth for us. We think that we know that many of our customers have said that in terms of payment, they would deploy payment with their spend management platform more than any other platforms to be able to really harness the complexity of payments and complete the flow of source to pay. So those are some of the key areas. We're also expanding geographically. We are pretty much on every continent today. We recently opened an office late last year in Australia, earlier this year in Dubai, and we're planning opening an office in China. So those are kind of geographical expansion. We are maintaining our long-term customer-centric culture. And, you know, it's been, the company has been built by a management team and founders who were very close to their customers and building their product with customers. And we're very much continuing on that. In fact, even though we've grown the R&D team a lot, my focus in the last 4 or 5 months since I joined, or when I joined, was to build what I call those extended teams, which are not only the R&D product team, but it includes our professional services people, our sales engineers, partners, customers, who are collaborating and part of a more integrated solution team that are building and looking at the product together. So those are the main kind of growth and expansion plan for iValua.
It's great to hear. And, you know, we live through a difficult period with companies. When you ask them about the next milestone and expansion plans, they hesitate to answer because they first need to make sure they stay above the water in the current circumstances. And it's refreshing to hear how you see things. And it's all about expansion and growing and becoming even better in developing new products or new features.
And it's funny you say that, Andre, because it's my nature to remain optimistic, but we've been lucky, we've been blessed, you know, we've been to be in a situation where we are seeing growth. We're not changing our roadmap and our plans. We have invested in 2019 a lot on R&D, and we have not divested, we have not chosen to divest for the month ahead. And so we remain very bullish and strong on our strategy and what we decided to set out in the next 18 months.
And connected to investments and looking forward to what's to come, Pascal, how are things on the hiring side? Because this is a very interesting topic for us personally, but what do you see the impact on hiring for iValua, and are there certain skills that are becoming more important?
Yeah, it's interesting because we obviously looked at our hiring plans, particularly with the COVID-19 pandemic. We made some adjustments, not that many, in fact. So we're still growing. We still have a lot of job being open. We did switch a few of the job opening to, I would say, lower cost area. You know that we have a very strong R&D team in France, and they are really A players. It's an amazing team, and we're kind of consolidating that team in France. But we're also open a development center and QA automation center in Pune, India. And those are more recent developments in the spirit of being able to continue fuel our growth in a cost-effective way. Now, in terms to answer more directly your question, you know, the type of skills or type of things we're looking at are very directly linked first to the culture at iValua, right? And that culture is really to see people that are committed to results, that have that sense of being very customer-centric. And you can tell right away when you hire a salesperson, when you hire a professional services person, even an engineer or a product manager, you can tell right away if in their example, in their career, they have been very close to customers. They've kind of been looking for that feedback from customer. We want people who are very agile and can show that they can adjust, adapt very quickly. They're not necessarily asking for permission. They're trying different things. They are, again, it's part of being very committed to result and result oriented. We also want people, and that's a very strong element of the culture at iValua, who think before they act. In other words, who take the time, not too long, but take the time to think, because often the very first inclination to do something is not going to be right. And it doesn't mean that you're going to take a long time to act, but it means that you are going to challenge your initial thinking, your intuitive thinking, at least a couple of times. And it can be within a couple of minutes. It can be within 2 hours. It can be within a week, to be able to really reflect on some of your key decisions. We also value a lot, and as many companies would say, positive attitude and enthusiasm, because again, if you're not positive, if you're not enthusiastic, it's very hard to believe in what you're doing and have a very strong perspective to fight, to iterate, to get to that outcome. So those are some of the key things that we're looking for. Of course, when I'm looking at specific skills, I'm going to add a couple more things, which for me, and those are more personal. They're not really related to the culture at iValua, but they're more personal. I've seen that people who are great communicators, good leaders in terms of their listening skills, in terms of probing, asking questions, challenging their own assumptions, are much better at accomplishing great things, at getting other people to work with them, as long as they remain humble. So I think humility is a big trait for me, being result-driven, positive. And of course, given the complexity of what we do in the world in which we live, being very disciplined, focused, you know, managing your time really well is an absolute must-have. So those are some of the skills that I look for or interview for when I look for a candidate.
This transitioned nicely in how you see yourself as a CPO and when do you know you're successful? Because you mentioned a few things that are important for you when you hire, but I'm curious, how do you define your success as the CPO?
Yeah, and so I'd like to answer it in kind of two ways. One is, what am I measuring? And then two is, how to make sure that I can do this, the what and the how. The what is, am I seeing, am I fostering a profitable revenue growth? If I join a company, you know, the last company I was before iValua grew 6 times when I was there over 4 years. And that's, you know, that was a great growth. And the company is still growing very much. I put in place the foundation there for the company to keep growing with fundamentally a really good customer-centric culture. And that for me is the second thing is, how do you measure customer satisfaction, your retention, your customer retention? Because ultimately your customers are right. And even though you may have a different strategy, you have to listen to what they're telling you, because somewhere buried in what they're telling you, there is a source of a problem, a challenge that you need to solve. It doesn't mean that you're going to solve it exactly the way the customer is telling you how to solve it. But if you know how to listen, then you'll know how to solve those problems. Speed to execution, to go live is really important to me, which is how you build best practices, a system that have enough out-of-the-box capabilities that it can be easy to maintain, easy to onboard, easy to implement, easy to support. And so those are for me another set of key metrics. And of course, delivering on roadmap commitments. You know, over the years, I've developed my own kind of process to not only set a roadmap with customers, partners, with the executive team, and a set what I call a solution committee, but to kind of review that roadmap through QBRs, quarterly business reviews, monthly business reviews, where kind of the evolution of that roadmap, the review of the progress, the status against the delivery of that roadmap, is fairly transparent. It doesn't mean that you build, and I've never built a roadmap by consensus, it's not a democracy, but it's very important to engage with the rest of the key constituent, the people who can influence and should influence your roadmap, and pay and take the time to listen for any objections, any issues that they have. Of course, as fact-driven as possible, but it's very important. And so that leads me to kind of more of the how, which I think is really important, which is more about the attitude. I've always seen my career as leading by example, meaning I can't ask my engineering leads, my solution owners, to kind of do all the things I just mentioned if I'm not doing those things myself. So I'm a solution owner myself. I own one of the iValua product because I want to lead by example. And it's not as big of a product as other solution owners who are full-time on this, but it's very important for me to kind of show how to do it, to focus on customer value and speed to value. Again, I mentioned that earlier. And there is a very important part of the attitude that I really love and I try to nurture and cultivate and educate around me is really having a growth mindset, right? And you may be familiar with growth mindset versus fixed mindset. And really having a growth mindset for me means that you know that whatever you do is perfectible, that you will never reach perfection, and that's okay, but you can improve over time. And that's very important because it allows you to basically hold two opposite ideas at the same time that could be conflicting, but at the same time gives you a better perspective on where to go. It allows you to challenge your assumptions often, to give room for others working with you to express a different point of view, but not only accept their differing point of view, but also try to truly understand why are they thinking differently? Are they challenging your design, your assumption, your direction? And maybe that represents somewhere an opportunity for improvement. Maybe it shows that there is a flawed assumption somewhere. And so I think being able to question yourself is really important, but you also have to make the call. That means once you've done that analysis, which can be very quick, it can be something that you do and nurture in your head all the time. It's really important to make the call and make sure that everybody owns their decisions. In other words, you don't do things because people tell you to do things. You do things because you believe in them, because you made a decision. And it's about that kind of attitude.
Interesting. I wanted to ask you next, close to our final question, about the best piece of advice you would give or you maybe have received for a successful career like you had so far. And I'm sure it's only going upwards from here. I think you touched on a few things. So if you want to reinforce some of the points of what you would advise somebody who thinks about either starting a new career, changing their current status quo, what would it be? Well, what successful career advice would you give?
Yeah, I think the biggest or single piece of advice is be passionate. In other words, if you do things and you don't feel passionate about them, just don't do them. You're just wasting your time and you might be wasting other people's time. I think the best moment in your life is when you feel very passionate about the outcome you're trying to drive. There are people who are naturally passionate about everything they do, but they don't come along too much. So I think it's really important to know yourself, know what excites you, and then really follow that passion. Because I think it's the only way to do things that ultimately will be bigger than yourself, that you will enjoy, and potentially create value to a lot of people on the way.
That's a strong message, Pascal. And like you said, some people have a natural gas tank of passion bigger than others. Some people have to nurture it. Some people have to grow into it. But strong message on the passion. And on this note, I wanted to thank you very much for all the sharing. And I wish you and the team only growth and success up the road that is coming. Yeah, and thank you again, Pascal.
Thank you, Andre. It was my pleasure to be on this podcast.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For all the show notes and information discussed in the episode, please follow elcatglobal.com/podcast. Also, if you found this interesting, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or one of the podcast platforms. We are looking forward to your feedback.